How are we, chaps?
Very good. Yeah. All we could see was your mouth moving, but we didn't see any words coming out. So I don't know if you were swearing or what was happening, but...
Oh, that's often the case. Yeah. It's not worth hearing, to be honest.
Where's Dal? It says that you're both there.
I'm here. I'm drinking a beer. He's next to me.
We don't normally do this, but because you're so far away, we feel honoured. I think we should let Dave see your faces.
I thought it was always done through just the
audio.
The voice,
but... It is.
Yeah, the thing is, we've got so used to not wearing any clothes, we thought we'd stick with that format.
Fair enough.
So, how you doing, boys?
All right, Connor. Well, we're already probably two beers deep.
Oh, are you? What time is it there, then?
7 p.m. We clocked off about an hour ago, and Dal doesn't live too far from me, so we come round and we thought it'd be easier to do it in one location.
So, have you heard a few? Well, obviously, you've heard a few. You've probably heard all your mates that you're missing.
Yeah, it's very AMV heavy, so I'm sure you know lots of people.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's probably the most common company to come up. I suppose it's one of the biggest things. So how long ago did you leave there, guys?
We've just come up to pretty much this week is a year.
Oh, wow. Not long then.
Yeah. So a lot's changed since we left, for sure.
How are you adapting out there?
Yeah, good. I think Australia in general, in terms of the whole COVID scenario, have numbers that are very enviable for the rest of the world. So from a economic and industry point of view, it's a good thing because they're opening up business sooner than the rest of the world. From obviously like personal point of view, we miss everybody back home and it's difficult having the distance, but yeah, we're chipping on. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's been kind of weird as well because obviously, you know, we're following the news in the UK quite a lot. So I think when we were in full lockdown mode, I definitely felt like things were actually worse than they actually were here because I was still kind of going off how bad things were in the UK when actually, you know, everybody was kind of in the parks having glasses of wine and playing frisbee and stuff, and I was still cooped up in my house.
Are you still working?
Yes, we've been really busy. We've been working a lot on, there's a brewery out here called Carlton United Breweries.
Yeah, they do pretty good work, couldn't they?
Yeah, so we've got a few things in the pipeline with them, and we've just done a project, actually, that's a stunt that we did 3 weeks ago where we kind of did a parody of an Olympic opening ceremony because the pubs started reopening. So we did a jokey stunt where it's the reopening of all the pubs and the CEO lit a tap torch to kind of give you a name for it and ran it around all the pubs around Australia. And it was quite funny, but
right,
I think everyone thought we were a bit mental because we were kind of going, oh yeah, we'll run around Australia. And people were like, do you realize that this is a country and a continent and how big this place is? We're like, oh yeah, we'll be fine. But yeah, we've been super busy. So it's been good our end, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And are you in lockdown over there?
So Melbourne's gone backwards, isn't it?
Yeah, we kind of, things got better, and then a couple of the suburbs started having these little outbreaks again. So certain suburbs of Melbourne have gone back into kind of full lockdown. But where we're living, it's still pretty normal. It's a bit like, I think I read something about Leicester as a city. Is it Leicester? Leicester
went back. It's gone back,
you know? But it's that on a micro level here.
It's massive. Like the numbers, when they say, oh, you know, Melbourne's gone back into lockdown. Like we were just chatting about the numbers before coming on this. And you go, we're looking at Swansea, and Swansea's where we're both from. It's like, what, population of 200 odd thousand?
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, a lot, you know, 10 times more impact in terms of deaths and COVID than the whole state of Victoria, which has 6 million people. So the numbers here are so low that when they kind of go into lockdown here, it's good and obviously it's working, but it sounds when you hear the headlines of, oh, state of emergency, that it's all doom and gloom, but the numbers are so low that it's...
different level.
You know, exactly. It's not comparable to what's happening around the world, but I suppose it's a good thing. You'd prefer to be in that circumstance than not.
So did you know COVID was coming? Is that why you moved to Australia?
Yeah.
You timed this really, really well.
We were actually working on a project where we wrote a script that had a natural disaster in it, and then there was loads of bushfires in Australia, and then we changed it and it was a pandemic situation, and now we're living through COVID. So that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, the script basically became Final Destination, didn't it?
Yeah.
The next time you get shut down and locked in, what would be the one DVD you would take with you? Do you remember what DVDs are? I don't know whether you're...
Yeah, yeah, no.
DVD generation.
things from a far-flung galaxy.
We're from the generation where you used to have to stop the tape recorder before the DJ came back on, so we know what DVDs are.
I don't know about DVD, but I've been watching a Spanish series called The Money Heist. I've kind of run out of English-speaking shows on Netflix and stuff, so I'm currently watching a Japanese Yakuza series, and yeah, Money Heist, which is all about these guys that break into a bank, and then it's almost like Big Brother in a bank of sorts. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well.
I would, if I was going to lockdown, I'd want to take a positive film because every film I was about to name is like super, like, you know, war related. So the like Braveheart or Gladiator. But yeah. I find myself these days trying to find more upbeat films. Like I watched a great documentary on Quincy on Netflix the other day.
Quincy, really the MD, or the producer of the
producer. It was really uplifting. It was quite nice actually because it feels like when you go on Netflix these days, it's all death, doom, murder, paedophiles, et cetera, et cetera.
He's gloomy.
Try to find something positive. And you're like, the outside world has got so much negativity going on right now that when you sit in your house, you kind of want something to make you smile. So I watched that and it was really nice because, I mean...
Did you know much about him? He is amazing, isn't he, Quincy Jones?
Oh, it was brilliant.
From Sinatra to Jazz to Michael
Jackson. Yeah, so that, I loved that. I knew that he was the man behind MJ, but what I didn't know was, as you say, he had so many touch points. Like, I didn't realise that the whole Sinatra relationship, and he was talking about how when they would go to Las Vegas, the mob bosses in Vegas wouldn't let the black band into a lot of the hotels. And basically Sinatra went, well, if you want me to play, then my band stays where I'm staying. Yeah. And you're just like, it was just an amazing story to hear and one inspiring man. Like the whole thing builds up to him holding a concert at the museum in the States, which is fantastic. I won't say too much in case everybody is going to watch it. But yeah, it's definitely an uplifting one to watch if you're fed up of all of the COVID situation and all of the doom and gloom on the news and everything else.
So Mike, adding to that, you've got one album that you can both keep as well.
You're going to probably laugh at me. I would go Eminem's first album.
Okay, we'll take that. It's a good choice.
Yeah, and the only album that I pretty much just listen to on repeat every single day, Power and Numbers by Jurassic 5.
Excellent.
Yeah, really?
Every day?
Pretty much every day, yeah. It's like, I've got friends that literally comment on my Spotify going, are you going to listen to something else today? Nope.
It gets it's quite exhausting when every idea that's pinged over has that as a soundtrack.
Have you managed to get it on anything yet?
Not on anything yet.
Okay, but you can keep trying. Dave?
So when was the last time you wore trousers that didn't have an elasticated waist?
I'm wearing joggers right now, so that's quite awkward.
Yeah, shorts. I'm more of a shorts man.
That's still elasticated, I'm guessing. In his buttons and zips, whether you've been...
We went into the office the other day, so we had to don the jeans, which was a bit of a weird one because they're kind of doing shifts of people. Obviously, Melbourne's gone backwards with the lockdown, but when we went in, we were doing a big team meeting, but not everybody could get in. So when you went in for the team meeting, some people were still at home, and then you kind of went, well, we should all just be at home if this is the case. So it was a bit of an unproductive circumstance, but that was the last time I wore jeans anyway. I can't remember what was around your waistband, so that wasn't what I was paying attention to.
So, guys, when was the last time you handled cash?
That's a good one. I don't think I've handled cash since I've been in Australia. I think I've actually got some cash at the house, but I think that it was sent to me by family in the UK.
So,
and I still got it.
Are you telling me that you're laundering money to Australia now?
Like, I think it's my girlfriend's grandparents.
A lot of laughter, a lot of guilty laughter.
Yeah. So, Mike, what about you?
Sad reality is I can't actually think of the last time I did, so I can't give you an answer, which in and of itself is the answer, isn't it?
We'll take that as the answer.
It's funny as well, Australian money, isn't it, in your hand? That plastic.
Yeah, it's laminated, isn't it? So it's designed to go surfing with, which actually makes a lot of sense.
Tell us, guys, what have you learnt about yourself in this period of isolation and lockdown?
I thought I was more social than I actually am. Yeah, I think that's the main thing.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I think, like, Dan and I talk, obviously, every other hour, but actually... It's quite nice having the quiet and just locking yourself away to think. And also, it's just, there's that age-old saying, isn't it? Oh, that meeting could have been an email. It feels like that is very much the case now. So
yeah.
I found that we've been more efficient as well, which I don't know whether people would like to hear, but it has been the case.
No, it's come up a lot. Is that because you? I'm presuming in your office you haven't got an office. You've got a bench with a.
No, we've got an office.
Oh, you have. So why have you been more productive in lockdown then?
Just because I suppose people stick their head in. You have meetings generally go on longer when people are physically in the room, and it feels like when you have these kind of like WebEx meetings where there's multiple people on it, you can't talk over each other because it doesn't work, which people do in meetings. You can't have separate conversations, which people do in meetings. And if somebody isn't articulate and gets to the point quite quickly, it's probably more apparent. So it feels like it kind of sifts out a lot of that shit, to be honest.
Interesting.
That's probably a bit of a negative about meeting people face to face.
No.
More productive though, it definitely feels more productive because you're kind of, even when Mike and I are talking about stuff, we're probably formulating things a little bit further than we would if we were within touching distance of each other.
Right.
You kind of end up, I think, coming together and having more formulated thoughts, which in some instances has been better, in others not. But I guess we're kind of, as everybody is, trying to adapt to a new way of working. But it definitely feels like not having account people and, you know, all the other kind of producers, all the rest of it, constantly around us, you get more clear.
More time to think. When things normalize, whenever that may be, what would you take from this period that you'll try and continue? Like maybe working at home more or?
Yeah, I think definitely the working from home thing. Mike and I have spoken about this at length, and it feels like you realize that clients probably get more out of knowing that their agency has a big office than we as creatives do, maybe. Mike and I need to get together and talk and work together, and we've definitely tried to do that since lockdown's eased. But I think that, yeah, that's been one thing. And then I'm trying to think what else. Anything else, Mike?
That would take back to the office.
Google Slides. That's been the other thing I've found. Like, working on Google Slides has definitely been a thing that we've not done before through choice. We were kind of forced into it, maybe on pitches. Yeah. And now we found ourselves doing it a little bit more. And as long as we've got control and not everyone has, that's been an interesting way of working where he'll drop something in, I'll drop something in, and then we'll kind of discuss and change.
Cool. So a little recommend for Google.
Yeah, it's good. And I think also there's a site.
A company that could do with a bit more help.
Yeah, very true. Very true. The thing I've been quite conscious of is you have to now make an effort to check that the people you're working with are all right. Like, I know that sounds silly, but like, what would be a kind of throwaway comment, or you could tell from somebody's body language their stress or how under the pump they are? It feels like you have to kind of reach out a little bit more to people to check that that's the case, particularly when behind the scenes, we're all in an environment where, unfortunately, numbers are having to be reduced. And when that happens, ultimately, the workload goes on to fewer people. And sometimes you get the impression that obviously people aren't going to reach out in that circumstance because they feel like they're under pressure. So it feels like we almost need to actively have a conversation. Go, oh, are you coping? Are you all right? Particularly as we're not with each other. Because if you kind of see someone walking around the office and they're looking like they're about to blow a gasket, you can pick up on that stuff. Whereas I don't think when people are in their homes, you can. I've definitely found that Dal and I have sent people texts or messages outside of like work context just to go, oh, is everything all right? Just to kind of see that they're not saying as if we're good Samaritans in that respect, but I just think that's something that to your point of going, what would you do if you went back to the office? I feel like because you see people more and you base people on how they are within a room, you kind of go, oh, they seem okay. Whereas now on a phone call, you don't have a clue, do you?
So you'd be a bit more empathetic and caring by the sounds of it going back.
Yeah, it feels like the distance now has forced more empathy, which I hope continues when we go back to the office.
Yeah.
Suppose, are you drinking more or less alcohol?
Kind of gone in waves for me.
Good plug for the sound studio there.
I found myself feeling I was fine and I was doing loads of running, and then I had a bit of an episode, and I probably started drinking a little bit more as we were working on a couple of projects that were becoming quite stressful, and now I've started to ease back off again, so it's been on and off.
And so Mike, you still get pissed every day?
Oh man, I haven't stopped being drunk since I arrived. I embrace the culture, mate. I got off the plane and downed five schooners. I would say possibly less, because I think that casual beer after work was more regular.
London Thursdays.
Yeah, the pub culture in general. I think since both of us have come here, because obviously Australia's got better weather. I don't know if you know that, but outdoor lifestyle. So you generally find yourself less in pubs. So I think because that is the case when we started drinking less, because what you aren't doing is leaving work and asking your mate straight away, oh, fancy a quick pint before jumping on the train. So I think that that probably set a precedent coming into isolation that just was drinking less in general.
So Dave's been trying to look for some sourdough friends, you know what, and he'd be really over the moon if he found some in Australia.
You sound like prime candidates, I've got to say.
Out here, they love a sourdough.
Have you tried baking one?
No, I can't say I have. I think you've got a bread machine, haven't you?
We've made some bread since we've been here, but I haven't tried sourdough. I think I'd have to look it up to have a look at whether it's more complicated than the recipe I'm using or not. But neither of us are massive sourdough makers, but we'll definitely eat it on the weekend. Yeah.
In the next pandemic, what would you stock up?
We've all learned from the pandemic that we've just lived through that every idiot and his dog clear the shelves of toilet paper. But other than that, I can't really think of anything else. Can you imagine?
No, I think we've been pretty lucky that there's nothing run out on the shelves. So we've probably not had as much of an impact of empty shelves as maybe the UK has. So our answers might be a bit poorer.
Dave, you got one more?
Yeah. So have you seen any marketing that has jumped out to you in this period of lockdown?
I follow Matt Bleese on Instagram, the illustrator. And I always find anything that he's been posting as being pretty funny and timely. Matt Bleese ads, I think, AMV have just, and it's not, this isn't just a plug for AMV, but the new body form campaign is pretty special. And then I was listening to one of the other episodes the other day, and I actually looked one of the ads up for your reference part, the Dacia campaign.
Yeah.
The, like, you know, on a shoestring with the directors. That was really cool too.
Yeah. Mike, did you ever...
There was one campaign that I thought was tonally spot on, which was from IKEA, where they did their instruction manuals to make dens.
Was that in the UK?
I can't remember. It was just really nice. It was like the flat pack instructions that come with them. Yeah. It was just like how to turn this sofa into an enemy base or how to turn this sofa into a soldier camp.
Excellent. All right, guys. Well, thank you for coming to talk to us.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for your time, guys.
Pleasure, chap.
Take it easy, both.
Brilliant. Cheers, guys. Bye.